بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise is due to Allah, the Rabb of Al-Alameen, the Lord of all creation. And may the salah and salam of Allah be upon His Prophet Muhammad, his family, and his noble companions. This is the lecture number 3 on this topic, how to understand Islam. And it's on the 24th of Safar, the second month of Hijrah, 1424. The last point mentioned in the last talk of this series was that the Muslim Ummah nowadays, the status of it reflects a general awareness and interest in the Deen of Allah, but amidst divisions, confusion, perplexity, bloodshed sometimes, and confrontations, parties, corrupt creeds and methodologies, enemies from within and enemies from outside. Most of the remedies being sought, most of them are often emotional, not governed by the Sharia perspectives. It is as if we don't have a leader and or a guide. What is the medicine? Who has the correct medicine? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluh is the one who is all acquainted with us and with our situation. Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who has the knowledge respecting every aspect of our problems and all of the means and ways that lead to our failure and all those that lead to success. Listen to what He says subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran. أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقَ وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. Shouldn't he who has created know? And he is the most kind and courteous to his slaves, all aware of everything. This is in Surah Al-Mulk, Surah 67, verse 14. He is the one who guided us to check ourselves first. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Verily Allah will not change the good condition of a people unless they change their state of goodness themselves. This is in Surah Al-Ra'd, Surah 13, verse 11. He subhanahu wa ta'ala guided the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to inform us that when you enter into al-'ayna, al-'ayna is this a prohibited form of transaction. It means to sell an article to someone and pay the price after an appointed term. Then the seller buys the article from the buyer at a lower price. And this is prohibited. So the Prophet ﷺ said, when you enter into al-'ayna, this kind of prohibited transaction that I described, and you hold the tails of oxen and pleased with agriculture and give up conducting the true jihad, the jihad which is not for political gains but for having the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prevailing, then Allah will make disgrace prevail over you and will not take it away until you return to your deen, to your religion. What does it mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had perfected this religion for us? In it there are the means for diagnosing our problems. In it we can discover our problems and in it we assuredly find the solution. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن تَنْصُرُوا اللَّهَ يَنْصُرْكُمْ وَيُثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَكُمْ. O you who believe, if you help in the cause of Allah, we will help you and make your foothold firm. As in Surah 47 verse 7. How to help in Allah's cause? This is done by applying His deen in our hearts, on our tongues, and on our limbs. يقول الله عز وجل وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ فَعَلُوا مَا يُوعَظُونَ بِهِ لَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُمْ وَأَشَدَّ تَثْبِيتًا وَإِذًا لَآتَيْنَاهُمْ مِنْ لَدُنَّا أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا وَلَهَدَيْنَاهُمْ صِرَاطًا مُسْتَقِيمًا. But if they have done what they were told, it would have been better for them and would have strengthened their faith. And indeed we should then have bestowed upon them a great reward from ourselves. And indeed we should have guided them to a straight way. What is this straight way? What is the guidance? A clear purpose regarding this life, how to attain the unity and the position of the Muslim towards disagreements, disputes, innovations, etc. is defined in the second section of the hadith which we recited in the last talk, where the Prophet ﷺ described the way for salvation in following him and his companions. When the Prophet ﷺ was asked about this saved group, this group that will attain salvation, his answer contained the remedy, contained the path that leads to Allah, and which details the fulfillment of the objective for which we have been created, the correct worship of Allah alone. So, what are then the sources regarding this guidance to the true understanding and application of the deen? We all know that the first source is the Quran. But what is the Quran and how to understand it? This will be the beginning of this third talk after this introduction. The Quran is the first source of our deen. Know, may Allah's mercy be upon me and you, that the word Quran, from a linguistic or lexical point of view, means the collection. And this is an infinitive noun of qara'a. Example, he collected together, put the thing part to part or portion to portion. It has been called Al-Quran because it collects the chapters, putting them together. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا جَمْعَهُ وَقُرْآنَهُ. In Surah 75 verse 17, it is for us to collect it and give you, meaning to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the ability to recite it. And the Quran comes also as a noun, as in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ جَعَلْنَا بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ حِجَابًا مَسْتُورًا. And when you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, recite the Quran, we put between you and those who believe not in the hereafter an invisible veil or a screen their hearts so that they hear or understand it not. This is in Surah 17, verse 45. It is called the collection because it has collected the histories of the previous nations, the tasks of the prophets and messengers, the commands and prohibitions, promises and threats, verses and signs, and chapters that are known as surah. Conventionally or traditionally, Al-Quran is a name for the book of Allah, signifying the true and real speech of Allah that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through the angel Gabriel alayhi salam, and which the believers are commanded to recite as an act of worship in prayers and outside prayers. No book other than the Quran carries the same name. This is the traditional or conventional meaning of the Quran. Allah the Most Magnificent taught the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam how to deal with the revelation and assure that it will be preserved. He subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سَنُقْرِئُكَ فَلَا تَنْسَى إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهِ إِنَّهُ يَعْلَمُ الْجَهْرَ وَمَا يَخْفَى. We shall make you to recite the Quran, so you Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shall not forget it, except what Allah may will. He knows what is apparent and what is hidden. This is in chapter 87 verses 6-7. Furthermore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لا تحرك به لسانك لتعجل به إن علينا جمعه وقرآنه فإذا قرأناه فاتبع قرآنه ثم إن علينا بيانه. Move not your tongue concerning the Quran to make haste therewith. It is for us to collect it and to give you the ability to recite it, the Quran. And when we have recited it to you through Jibreel, then follow you its recital. Then it is for us, Allah, to make it clear to you. So the process of teaching the Quran included three things. Number one, its collection in the chest of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Secondly, its recitation at the time of revelation. Thirdly, explaining it and making it clear on the tongue of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-Quran undoubtedly is the word of Allah. It reveals the sayings of Allah. He revealed this book to his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The believers testify to it as the whole truth with a firm faith that it is the word of Allah and that it is not a created like the words of the creatures themselves. Whoever listens to the book and thinks that it is a word of human beings commit kufr, disbelief. Allah Almighty condemns such a person and threatens him with chastisement in the hellfire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سَأُصْلِيهِ سَقَرْ سَأُصْلِيهِ سَقَرْ Soon I will cast him into the hellfire. In reply to the one who said about the book of Allah, إِنَّ هَذَا إِلَّا قَوْلُ الْبَشَرِ This is nothing but the word of a mortal. This is in the Quran, chapter 74, verse 25. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala threatened him, سَأُصْلِيهِ سَقَرْ Soon I will cast him into hellfire, meaning this is nothing but the word of a mortal. That is the one who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking of. That is the one who said that this is nothing but a word of a mortal. At the time of its revelation, nations were indulged in the worship of created things in various forms and ways. The Arabs in Mecca worshipped idols. The Persians worshipped fire and magnified a god of darkness and a god of light. The Greeks magnified images, star worship, and various deities. Hindus worshipped countless idols concerning them or considering them manifestations of God in creation. The Romans magnified power and lust. Most of the Jews and the Christians deviated from the revelations given to Prophet Musa and Isa alayhim salam by worshipping partners and or associates besides Allah and by claiming that Uzair, Ezra and Isa, Jesus were sons of Allah. Jesus alayhim salam was and is still being considered as God incarnate by many Christians. Then the Quran was revealed. The first verse was the command, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم Read, in the name of your Rabb Allah, who has created all that exists. He has created man from a clot, a piece of thick coagulated blood. Read, and your Rabb Allah is the most generous. Who has taught the writing by the pen. He has taught man that which he knew not. Surah 96 verses 1 to 5. وَكَذَلِكَ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ رُوحًا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا مَا كُنْتَ تَدْرِي مَا الْكِتَابُ وَلَا الْإِيمَانِ وَلَكِنْ جَعَلْنَاهُ نُورًا نَهْدِي بِهِ مَنْ نَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا وَإِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ صِرَاطِ اللَّهِ الَّذِي لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ أَلَا إِلَى اللَّهِ تَصِيرُ الْأُمُورُ And thus we have sent to you, O Muhammad, Ruhan, an inspiration and a mercy of our command. You knew not before what was the book, nor what was faith. But we have made the Quran a light, wherewith we guide whosoever of our slaves we will. And verily you are indeed guiding mankind to the straight path. That is Allah's religion of Tawheed. The path of Allah to whom belongs whatever in the heavens and whatever on the earth. Verily, all matters at the end go to Allah for decision. Surah 42 verses 52 and 53. It is a perfect and consistent book with a clear message. And what's the clear message of the Quran? Kitabun uhkimat ayatuhu. I would like you, inshallah, brothers and sisters, to contemplate these verses very thoroughly and ponder upon them. كِتَابٌ أُحْكِمَتْ آيَاتُهُ ثُمَّ فُصِّلَتْ مِنْ لَدُنْ حَكِيمٍ خَبِيرٍ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا اللَّهِ إِنَّنِي لَكُمْ منه نذير وبشير. In Surah 11, verse 1 and 2, this is a book. The verses whereof are perfected in every sphere of knowledge, and then explained in detail from one, Allah, who is all wise and well acquainted with all things, saying, worship none but Allah. Verily I, Muhammad SAW, am sent unto you from him to warn and to bring glad tidings. This is an introduction about the Quran. Now, there is a clarification, certain doubts, and that's very important for us, especially the brothers and sisters who are engaged in da'wah. There are those who claim that the Quran is the product of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam intelligence. They consider him to be a very intelligent person with a deep insight, capable of authoring the Quran. This is one of their doubts. Many facts, however, strongly refute such claim. The first fact it is very evident that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that the Quran is not from him. If he was seeking leadership and prestige, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not discredit himself by denying that he authored the Quran. Secondly, no matter how intelligent a person is, it is rather impossible for him to accurately relate the past event of history, faiths, laws, and matters of the ghaib. Al-ghaib are the realities and domains beyond human perception, example Al-Jannah and the fire of hell, sometimes translated as the unseen. So no matter how intelligent a person is, it's rather impossible for him to accurately relate the past event of history, the faiths, the laws, the matters of Al-Ghaib, not to mention futuristic events which would be precisely manifested as foretold. All were related in details and with perfect accuracies and without any contradiction or opposition. Being unlettered himself, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam neither read books nor engaged himself with storytellers. Thirdly, Allah the Most High says, وَإِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِّمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَىٰ عَبْدِنَا فَأْتُوا بِصُورَةٍ مِّن مِثْلِهِ وَادْعُوا شُهَدَاءَكُمْ مِّن دُونِ اللَّهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. And this applies to refuting all the doubts concerning the Quran, not this particular doubt that was raised earlier. And if you are in doubt concerning that which we have sent down, that the Quran, to our slave Muhammad SAW, then produce a surah, chapter of the like thereof, and call your witnesses and helpers besides Allah if you are truthful. As in Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah 2, verse 23-24. It is very risky for a wise and an intelligible person to challenge people in matters which they excel in. Meaning the Arabs. The Arabs were eloquent and fluent masters of the Arabic language, the language of the Quran. Yet the challenge is a very clear and vivid one. Bring forth one single surah. Even though the smallest chapter in the Quran, which is Surah 108, is only 10 words. Not only that, but if they and anyone else were to call upon whomsoever they want for support and help, they will remain incapable of bringing forth something similar to Quran. قُلْ لَئِنِ اجْتَمَعَتِ الْإِنسُ وَالْجِنُّ عَلَىٰ أَن يَأْتُوا بِمِثْلِ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ لَا يَأْتُونَ بِمِثْلِهِ وَلَوْ كَانَ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ ظَهِيرًا. Say, if the whole of mankind and jinns were to gather together to produce the like of this Quran, they would not produce the like thereof, even if they back up each other with help and support, as in Surah 17, verse 88. And the answer came in Allah saying, فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا وَلَنْ تَفْعَلُوا فَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ الَّتِي وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْكَافِرِينَ. But if you cannot, and of surety you cannot do that, then fear the fire of hell, whose fuel is men and stones prepared for the disbelievers, as in Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah 2, verse 24. Fourthly, there is a complete and perfect harmony regarding the contents of the Quran in matters of creed, news, laws, etc., free from any imperfection or error. This is an irrevocable evidence that the Quran is not a human effort. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Will they not ponder on the Quran? Had it been from other than Allah, they would surely have found therein much discrepancy, incongruity, contradictions. You see, no human will be sure about the perfection of his book so as to make of it an open invitation for search for discrepancy. This cannot be. Fifthly, the perfect agreement between the facts mentioned in the Quran and what has been recently discovered or proven by scientists. It is beyond reason that Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, an unlettered person, would have known these facts more than 1400 years ago. Using advanced technology, scientists were only recently able to describe certain phenomena, like the stages of development of the human embryo, something which the Quran has described more than 1400 years ago. Prophet Muhammad ﷺ was equipped only with the Quran and not with advanced techniques, nuclear magnetic resonance spectroscopy, CAT scans, fluorescence microscopes, computers, sophisticated photography. Allah spoke of firm mountains as pegs so that the earth would not shake with us. Allah spoke of barriers between seas, forbidding partitions between salt and fresh water, darkness and internal waves in deep seas, the sun and the moon in universal orbits, the formation of moisture and rain, the formation and secretion of milk, breathing problems at high altitudes, and many more. All of this proves that the Quran is the literal word of Allah, and that Muhammad ﷺ is a true messenger of Allah. No one could have known these facts except Allah, who created and fashioned all things in due proportions and exact measures. The purpose is to support the fact that Muhammad ﷺ is a true messenger, sent by Allah, supported by many signs to prove for the people then and for the rest of mankind up to the day of resurrection that the Quran is the truth from Allah, guiding mankind to fulfill the great purpose behind their creation, and that is to submit and worship Him alone and associating no partners with Him. Sixthly, there is no documented verification whatsoever to support the claim of some of the Christians and the Jews at later times after the Prophet ﷺ message, who claim that Muhammad ﷺ may have received information from Christians and Jewish scholars. As to the Prophet ﷺ encounter with the monk Buhayra or Bahira, it was before the prophethood was established, and it was also a very brief encounter. Add to that the Prophet's uncle Abu Talib was present when they met this monk. Had there been anything in this meeting that would nullify the Prophet ﷺ's message or cast a doubt about it, then the pagan Arabs would have loved that and would have not hesitated to use it against the authenticity of the prophethood and the message of the Prophet ﷺ. In fact, the monk Bahira himself whispered to Abu Talib, the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ, to preserve Muhammad and guard him from the Jews. Subhanallah. Secondly, as to the Prophet ﷺ meeting with Waraqa bin Nawfal, the cousin of Khadija, the Prophet's wife, radiallahu anha, this was held after the Prophet ﷺ received the beginning of revelation, when he was ﷺ scared and came to Khadija saying, "Cover me, cover me." Khadija radiallahu anha was keen to comfort herself regarding the welfare of her husband, the Prophet ﷺ. So they went to Waraqa bin Nawfal, and Waraqa bin Nawfal spoke that the Prophet ﷺ is true, and he also warned him that his people will drive him out. And Waraqa replied in the affirmative and said, "Anyone man who came with something similar to what you have brought was treated with hostility. And if I should remain alive till the day when you will be turned out, then I would support you strongly." but a few days Waraqa died later, and the divine inspiration was also paused for a while, as in Sahih al-Bukhari. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refuted such a claim when he subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّهُمْ يَقُولُونَ إِنَّمَا يُعَلِّمُهُ بَشَرٌ لِسَانُ الَّذِينَ يُلْحِدُونَ إِلَيْهِ أَعْجَمِيٌّ وَهَذَا لِسَانٌ عَرَبِيٌّ مُبِينٌ. And indeed we know that they, the pagans and the polytheists, say it is only a human being who teaches him Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The tongue of the man they refer to is foreign, while this Quran is a clear Arabic tongue, as in Surah 16 verse 103. Any possible foreign teacher would be poor in Arabic speech. Even the most eloquent Arab could not and cannot produce anything like the Quran in its depth, eloquence, purity, consistency and perfection. In addition, the Quran strongly denied the alteration of the original texts of the Torah and the Injil, the Gospel, which were revealed respectively to Prophet Moses and Jesus alayhi wasalam. Take for example their claims ascribing children to Allah. وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ عُزَيْرُ بْنُ اللَّهِ وَقَالَتِ النَّصَارَ الْمَسِيحُ بْنُ اللَّهِ ذَلِكَ قَوْلُهُمْ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ يُضَاهِئُونَ قَوْلَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ قَبْلِ قَاتَلَهُمُ اللَّهُ أَنَّا يُؤْفَكُونَ. And the Jews say Uzair, Ezra, is the son of Allah. And the Christians say the Messiah is the son of Allah. That is a saying of their mouths. They imitate the sayings of the disbelievers of the old. Allah's curse be upon them. How they are deluded away from the truth. Chapter 9, verse 30. Allah Most High calls upon the Jews and Christians to abandon the false concepts and the worship of others besides Allah. And the Christians say, and the Jews say, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to them to take from them their falsehood. Subhanallah. اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله والمسيح ابن مريم وما أمروا إلا ليعبدوا إلها واحدا لا إله إلا هو سبحانه عما يشركون. They, the Jews and the Christians, took the rabbis and their monks to be their lords besides Allah, meaning by believing their rabbis and monks in things which they made lawful or unlawful according to their desires without being ordered by Allah. And they also took as their Lord the Messiah, the son of Mary. Yet they were commanded in the scriptures to worship but one God, Allah. None has the right to be worshipped but He. Praise and glory be to Him. Far is He from having the partners they associate with Him. This is in Surah 9 verse 30. Furthermore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls the people of the book to come to Tawheed. And these Christians and Jews claim that Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam want to take from those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are ordering them to comply with the message of Muhammad. It's just amazing. يقول الله عز وجل قل يا أهل الكتاب تعالوا إلى كلمة سواء بيننا وبينكم ألا نعبد إلا الله ولا نشرك به شيئا ولا يتخذ بعضنا بعضا أربابا من دون الله فإن تولوا فقولوا اشهدوا بأننا مسلمون. They, the Jews, or say, O Muhammad, all people of the scriptures, Christians and Jews, come to a word that is just between us and you, that we worship none but Allah, and that we associate no partners with Him, and that none of us shall take others as lords besides Allah. Then if they turn away, say, bear witness that we are Muslims, meaning submitted and obeyed the commands of Allah. This is in Surah 3 verse 64. How could it therefore be true that the Christians and Jews were the source of knowledge which Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam utilized to author the Quran? Seventhly, one of the great qualities of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was his truthfulness before and after he was chosen as a prophet. His foes admitted to this fact without any hesitation. In one famous case, Heraclius, the sovereign of Byzantine, received a letter from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam calling him to accept Islam. Heraclius called upon Abu Sufyan, one of the strong pagan Arab leaders and a staunch enemy of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then to ask him questions about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the religion of Islam. Heraclius asked Abu Sufyan many questions, amongst which was the following question: did you ever accuse him of telling lies before his saying what he has said, meaning as a prophet? Abu Sufyan said, no. Heraclius commented by saying, I took for granted that a man who didn't tell a lie about others could never tell a lie about Allah. الله سبحانه وتعالى also said ولو تقول علينا بعض الأقاويل لأخذنا منه باليمين ثم لقطعنا منه الوتين فما منكم من أحد عنه حاجزين. And if he Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم had forged a false saying concerning us Allah, we surely should have seized him by his right hand or with power and might, and then certainly should have cut off his artery, the aorta, and none of you could withhold us from punishing him. As in Surah 69, verse 44-47. It is a very serious matter, which Allah the Almighty would not let it occur. It is a further proof that the Quran is the word of Allah, and not the work of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the list of proofs is a long one. What has been presented is sufficient reminder. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لِذِكْرَى لِمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ قَلْبٌ أَوْ أَلْقَ السَّمْعَ وَهُوَ شَهِيدٌ. Verily therein is indeed a reminder for him who has a heart and understanding, or who gives ear while is heedful. This constitutes the beginning of the talks about the Quran. The second or the forthcoming inshallah chapter will deal with the preservation of the Quran. Once we move from them inshallah, we will start by the second source, and that is the Sunnah, and we will talk about the preservation of the Sunnah. And then we can start the lectures concerning how to understand the Quran and then how to understand the Sunnah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make all of that easy and to make all this effort for his face, subhanahu wa ta'ala, sincerely done for his face. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive me if there was said anything that is wrong. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward you for being here. And may Allah the Most High make this a benefit for me in this life and the hereafter and for all of you. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wa jazakumullahu khayran. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.